Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
One snap for the Colts. 1 second left. Texans up three, trying to hang on. Richardson out of the gun. Here's the snap. He steps to his left. Richardson in trouble. And Richardson's going to be sacked. Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter get him. The ball comes out. There's a scrum for it. Everybody's still chasing it. And Will ends up with it. Game over. Houston wins. Bye-bye, Colts. 23-20 Texans. They sweep the season series for the second time ever. And run their record to 6-2. A commanding lead in the AFC South.
It's huge. You know, it's they're always a tough opponent. You know, divisional games are some of your hardest games. So when you can find a way to win, you know, we do, you know, we clean up some things. We got a lot of other things to clean up as well. But I definitely, you know that, you know, we're a heck of a football team and we just got to keep putting on film. And, you know, once we, you know, figure out the little kinks and things that we need to figure out, I think, you know, we're going to be rolling.
CJ Stroud talking about the win yesterday. Mark Vandermeer on the call. And one thing I've noticed, Seth, is that over the last 2 years, we get very few final calls from Mark Vandermeer where it's so-and-so takes a knee and that'll do it. It's always, okay, here we go. Last snap of the game.
It all comes down. There's a whole lot of it all comes down to this.
There is.
I'm learning to embrace it.
You gotta
quit thinking about the future, everybody. Who knows what's going to exist after next Tuesday? If I'm to believe my social media account, it's all going to pot. So enjoy it now. 6-2.
6-2, 3-0 in the division, 5-0 in the conference. They've got the head-to-head over the Colts. This was a big win yesterday. We said going into this game on Sunday, this is a chance to take a stranglehold on the AFC South, and that's what they did. They're the number 2 seed in the AFC. This is record-wise, the Texans are in a fantastic spot, right? As good a spot as they've been in the history of their franchise. 6-2 overall, and they're 2 games up in the division with a tiebreaker. And they've got the really fun part of the schedule coming up now with a lot of primetime games coming up.
A lot of primetime games, and as you know, before the season, it never shakes out quite the way it looks in the preseason rankings. And the Jets right now do not look like what they were hoping the best version of themselves would be.
Mm-mm.
They've got but they still have a defense that features a guy that concussed CJ Stroud.
They do. That's
Quinnen Williams still walks and breathes.
And CJ Stroud mentioned that in the post game.
Nothing the election is going to do about him.
You can't
vote him out of office. Incumbent left guard, he's still possibly going to be there. We don't know.
Still a problem. Yeah. So a lot to dig into today. On this Texans game, look ahead to the Thursday night game coming up against the New York Jets and the way the schedule shakes out for the Texans. But I said going into the season, the first 8 games, I viewed that as a chunk of the schedule for the Texans, the most manageable part of the season for the Texans. And while they have sent us to the infirmary with heart trouble many, many times throughout these first 8 games, they are 6-2 right now.
This is the short-term concerns, obviously. It's a short week. You've got an offensive lineman in Jared Patterson who stepped in and looked good on a touchdown drive. And
the only long touchdown drive of the day.
I thought I screwed up a name or something. Thank you. Jared Patterson comes in. They score a touchdown, except Jared Patterson gets a concussion. He sacrificed his brain for that touchdown.
Yeah.
And then immediately a Green came back in. Not Kendrick Green, but Kenyon Green went back out there. And I thought played better in the second half. They did some things to protect him a little bit. But look, last year, Juice Scruggs was playing left guard. He got bulldozed into C.J. Stroud, concussed C.J. Stroud. You still feel very uneasy about the left guard position. I don't think Patterson's going to play. I don't know if they try Kendrick Green as opposed to Kenyon Green. But this is there's some very real and literal and metaphorical headaches going up to New York facing that defense.
So as long as we're on this topic, because as we know, this game last season in New York was the one where C.J. Stroud got concussed by Quinnen Williams, as you pointed out. The big story for the Texans coming off of the Green Bay game was how C.J. Stroud was chased around all day long in that Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Pass protection didn't feel great. It felt better than Green Bay only because it couldn't have been worse than it was in Green Bay. How do you think they played? How do you feel about the way they're playing on the offensive line right now heading into Thursday?
I feel like they're still botching some of the simple things. The any kind of stunts or movement, there's just somebody being flummoxed. there's times where it's a tight end. I mean, Sean, there was a play yesterday where Cade Stover, who did some really good things in the game, but Cade Stover and Tegan Quatoriano are going to double team a defensive end. Neither of them even touched him. He ran free. He just decided to run around the obstruction, which was two pretty large human beings. Mm-hmm. And we just still see so much of it, or too much of that. That's my biggest concern. And that's not to rail on Cade Stover or anything. He had some beautiful blocks in that game.
Yeah.
There's more. Kenyon Green is the one who looks the most physically inept right now. The offensive line as a unit is just still too disjointed, just not moving in sync with each other, not on the same page. That's my concern versus this Jets defense.
Yeah, the Texans are getting it done with defense, man. Like, they're 6-2, and all these games that have been so close at the end, the only one that I feel like was the offense kind of taking control and winning it in the end was the Jacksonville game in week 4, and the defense needed to get 5 punts in the second half of that game to get the offense the ball enough times. I don't know that I can remember 2 straight home games where you've had a quarterback throw for 30% completion percentage.
I know.
And throwing a lot of passes. Yeah, Josh Allen was 9-for-30 in week 5.
Mm-hmm.
And they come back
incredible.
Compared to
what we saw yesterday.
And Anthony Richardson was 10-for-32 for 175 yards, and 69 of those yards came on one play.
People have had it with Anthony Richardson. I've searched long and wide to find an Indianapolis to find a Colts fan defending him taking himself out of the game yesterday. So for those of you who missed it, he just took himself out of the game.
He was tired. He was like a receiver that just ran a deep route, and he's like tapping.
There's a guy that you can see hasn't played a whole lot of actual quarterback in his career because he's been injured so much.
Yeah.
He played just about a dozen games in college.
Yeah.
The quarterback took himself out of the game because he was tired.
Yeah. Brought it Joe Flacco. I was more nervous with Flacco.
Well, yeah, like, so Joe Flacco had to come in and hand the ball off. Right,
yeah.
Right.
On 3rd and 15. Yeah. Okay. The other.
I loved Tiki Barber's reaction to that. Was hilarious.
I haven't seen it.
It was like any middle-aged guy trying not to grumble too much. He was like, "Oh, well, that's interesting.
It's interesting.
All right. Well, I guess
quarterback tapping
what the TikTok is about. I don't know. Okay.
The big story. One of the big stories coming out of this game will be and is Stephon Diggs' injury. Stephon Diggs leaves the game. In the second half yesterday, didn't look good. Non-contact injury. We've got no news from the team on it. The tone of the people with the team right now doesn't make me optimistic. Just some of the things they're saying.
Find yourself reading into CJ's statements a bit much? Like what level of prayers he's throwing out?
Yeah, yeah, because we...
It's like DEFCON level to his prayers.
Yeah, yeah, this felt like... One is the really bad one, right, on DEFCON? DEFCON 1
DEFCON
is the
1,
worst.
Right, yeah,
this felt like a 2. It was up there for me. CJ's reaction yesterday.
DEFCON 1 in the CJ shout out would be a tib fib.
Some
kind of Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah. Well, Tank last year, man. Like, you know, like Tank Dell last year. But
yeah, but that wasn't when he got shot or when he got his leg.
Broke his leg.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I guess it could be either.
He broke his leg, but it wasn't a nasty break.
No.
You know, it wasn't sticking out.
Nobody's really sad for Tank.
That's true.
So the Diggs injury here, in the short term, and even if Diggs. Even if it isn't season-ending, I don't anticipate seeing him on Thursday.
It's hard with any Thursday night game. We've seen people come back from the concussion protocol for a Thursday night game. There was a quarterback that did a few years ago, and I'm uneasy about it.
Yeah.
There's nothing about me that wants to see Patterson come back from a concussion.
Yeah,
Diggs. Yeah, I'd be surprised.
I'd be surprised. So what does this look like now? What is at least for one game, what is a Diggs-less, Nico-less offense?
You brought this up. I mean, that final drive before the drive, it was just a really nice drive down into the red zone before the fumble.
Yeah.
They spread the ball around. Yeah. You got multiple people involved. We saw Xavier Hutchinson and John Mechie show up. You know, Mechie's been getting an increasing diet of John Mechie in the last couple weeks. That final play against the Packers, if CJ had trusted his pass protection enough to work through his reads, he had John Mechie in the end zone.
Yeah.
He just, by that point in the game, CJ was just trying to get rid of the ball to the open receiver. But it's trite, but everybody else has got to step up. It's you got to spread the ball around. You got to get your tight ends more involved. Was it yesterday National Tight Ends Day? Were they talking about coming up? I didn't go die. That whole tradition. This is like George Kittle.
Talking about
put that out there. That's a, you put that out there as a joke, and people latched onto it because people like you love this.
Oh, I do. It's National Donut Day. I do. I've got a link to it at the top of our rundown.
Shetland Pony Day.
Well, I always feel like if it's a food that you get caloric immunity on that. Like you, there's no calories that count that day. I love National Donut Day. I eat 12 of them.
The American Heart Association would endorse that for the right amount.
Who are they? So the Texans beat the Colts yesterday, 23-20, heading to New York on a short week. I'd forgotten about this when CJ was doing his interview. Well, somebody asked him, like, hey, so what do you think, you know, what's your plan here for the short week? And CJ's like, I don't know. I've never had one of these before.
It's, you know what? It's weird. It's there's a lot about Thursday night football that's difficult. You have the short turnaround. You're out there during warmups kind of reminding yourself, like, all right, I'm about to play an NFL football game. Yeah. There's large humans that are going to try to hurt me. Let's get going.
Yeah.
You got to really talk your way into it because the process is different. But it is kind of nice because the week leading up to it, it's short, but it's all mental.
Yeah.
You're out there, you're doing walkthroughs, jog-throughs. There's very little actual exertion.
Yeah.
And you got a little mini bye week on the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and they need it.
Yeah. You can pay your utility bills and everything. You got time.
Balance your checkbook. Yes. Yeah. No, it's good stuff. All right. So we got a lot to dig into with this Colts game, a lot of look ahead to do with the Jets as well. I am very curious what version of the New York Jets the Texans are getting on Thursday this week, after a loss to the Patriots on
Sunday. Do you
mean
like one from this past couple decades or like the 90s Jets?
No.
Okay.
I mean the level of plugged-in-edness they have in this game. You know what I mean?
Oh,
the Jets, yeah. I mean, they're 2-6 and you lost to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Are you rallying the troops or are you just cashing things? Was this a dream?
There's going to be like bulletin board material, but not for the Texans, but just for the New York media.
Game's a pick 'em.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pick 'em. Like, so the Vegas thinks that the Texans are getting a competitive version of the Jets here on Thursday night. So we'll see. We'll dig into that.
Or they think that they're getting the worst version of the Texans without Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins.
Or both. So we'll see about that. So let's do that. Let's dig into that. What version of the Jets are the Texans getting this week? We'll continue to take a look back at yesterday, what it means. What could Nick Caserio be shopping for at the trade deadline as well? Trade deadline's a week from tomorrow, and the Texans all of a sudden have needs that they probably weren't anticipating going into this week. So we'll do all of that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
First half Texans at the Colts 14, Stroud under center. Handoff, Nixon, starts right, cuts left, 10, 5, Nixon still going, takes out a defender, and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Nixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Nixon with a grown man run. Get off me. What a run by Joe Mixon. I am a fan.
What a call by Andre Ware and Mark Vandermeer.
He's in his voice. Yeah.
Yeah, Joe Mixon.
Joe Mixon. He's got a synergistic effect.
Indeed.
He's a great, good players make other players better. And I feel like he brought up the bassist of bass voices in
Andre Ware. Yeah, that was good.
Good job, Joe Mixon.
That was a great call. Way to raise Andre Ware. As if Andre Ware needs to raise his game. He does not. But Joe Mixon brought out the best in Dre right there on that call. 14-yard touchdown run yesterday. That was the one sustained drive the Texans had that ended in 7 points yesterday. Joe Mixon going into the end zone. That was the only drive where Jarrett Patterson was in at left guard. He got concussed on that very play. I don't know that that's a coincidence. Jarrett, that they kind of locked things down on the offensive line a little bit when they swapped out Kendrick Green. But when this offense was moving yesterday, and when it's moved over the course of this season, it's been in the four games that Joe Mixon's been heavily involved in, and it's been with Mixon heavily involved. Even that drive towards the end of the game that ended with the botched pitch to Mixon, that drive, they were leaning on Mixon. Once they got across the 50-yard line, it was Mixon for 8, Mixon for 13, Mixon for 21. In the four games that he has started and finished, he has had over 100 yards in all of those games. And in my opinion, he has been their most valuable player in all those games.
And you know why? Because he provides bumper lanes for the offensive line. They're not good at bowling and or blocking yet, and Joe Mixon makes them better. So there's just so many instances where one or two offensive linemen they just threw a gutter ball. I don't know the bowling lingo, Sean.
Mm-hmm. But gutter ball works.
Yeah. So but Joe Mixon corrects it with a jump cut. Like he's got this Fred Taylor like jump cut that's just. It's absurd. It shouldn't be physically possible by somebody his size. But he's able to dodge a lot of flack in the backfield and make something out of nothing. And then when the blocking is good, like it was on that play, multiple really good blocks on that play, including by the tight end. Then when he gets ahead of steam, him versus a defensive back, it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to bulldoze the dude.
Yeah, you saw it on that play.
Yeah.
He tossed the guy down. He was carrying the ball in his right arm and threw the guy down with his left arm.
It was that was impressive. The most impressive physical feat of the day was Anthony Richardson throwing off Foley Fatakasi.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Like an old coat.
Yeah.
I felt bad for Foley. Look, as a guy that's lost multiple sacks to Steve McNair just by his sheer massiveness and strength.
You know how
those ones hurt.
He had your. Yeah. He wears your number too.
Yeah,
it's a tradition like
that.
No other.
They gotta wash that thing with bleach. they gotta get that thing, kill it with fire.
Yeah. Dragon glass. Yeah,
that jersey is retired.
Yes.
How many? The Texans don't retire jerseys except for one. Who? Seth Payne. Played here for a few years.
All
the
91s, really. Yeah. So Mixon was great yesterday. D'Amico Ryans talks about the swarm mentality, and that's something that's really easy to see on defense and probably execute on defense. You know, you can see swarming happening. Joe Mixon is as swarmy a running back as you can get. Like his style of running, his style of leadership in that locker room, everything about him, like he feels like the quintessential D'Amico Ryans running
back. No. And that's important. Like there's the swarm quotient is way higher on defense right now. And it's not just about overall performance. I think you look at the offensive line, and the character types on that offensive line need a guy like Joe Mixon, I think. Because Laramie Tunsil calls everybody a dog. This guy's a dog. That guy's a dog. There's not a lot of actual genuine dogs on the offensive line. I feel like they're capable of being them. It's in there. But they need a little boost. Mm-hmm. And I'm not so sure Kenyon Green's the guy.
Yeah.
So, but Joe Mixon, the coolest thing about him was going into the tent while Patterson was in the tent to check on Patterson after he's injured. Mixon went in to check on him.
That's nice of him.
He treats he's like a good, like good running backs and good quarterbacks do. They're always going to stick up for and, you know, have the offensive lines back.
Yeah, that was cool.
He's old school in that regard.
That was cool, man. Hey, by the way, that Mixon play is your 5-hour energy, high energy play of the game. 5-hour energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fans. Yeah. So there you go.
I used to have a co-host, Sean, that would sip his 5-hour energy drink. Meltzer would get a lot of that. That was the thing that Landry and Meltzer fought about most. Was Meltzer
sipping a five-hour
energy drink over the course of 2 hours?
Over 2 hours?
Yeah,
that's not easy to do.
It's like it was a fine whiskey or something.
He's like one of those people that would survive on a peanut for like 2 days on a desert island.
Yeah, he's going to be one of these
sipping a five-hour energy.
Yeah. Meltzer is a master of restraint. He'd eat half a dessert. He's like this, like a dainty gentleman.
I don't get it. Yeah. I don't get it. So they're going to need a lot of Mixon on Thursday this week against the Jets.
I can't find this tweet that I was.
You were looking for something.
Every good
there.
Offensive line has like two absolute psychopaths. One guy who's overly intellectual and thinks too much.
Okay.
One guy that's a technician, and then one other character type. And I'm just looking for the two deranged psychopaths on that offensive line.
How many fashionistas are there on offensive line?
He didn't say. Probably one of the category I can't think of was some one of those things. Yeah, okay. I feel like there's a couple too many fashionistas. I feel like Shaq Mason is the deranged psychopath. I just don't know if he has it in him physically anymore to act on his psychopath.
Yeah, he's been here a year and a half. If it ain't coming out now, I don't know when it's going to come out. So we'll see what happens. So the Texans are returning to the scene of C.J. Stroud's concussion last year. This was one of those games. This is an interesting game to me on a couple of fronts. Obviously, the Jets are coming off of this loss to the New England Patriots, which is embarrassing. team the Texans beat by 20 a couple weeks ago. It's a chance for the Texans to stack another win here in the AFC, as we outlined in the open. They are 6-2 right now. They're undefeated in the conference. They're undefeated in the division. Their only two losses are over in the NFC. They are set up as good as any team right now that if they get into a tussle in the standings with tiebreakers, they are set up really, really well. So this Jets game is another chance for them to stack another AFC win against a team that's struggling right now. I am very curious what version of the Jets the Texans are getting. They're 2-6 on the season, and there is a ton of drama surrounding this team. They made the trade for, they fired their coach, hoping that would trigger something. It's triggered nothing. They traded for Devontae Adams, hoping that would trigger something. It's triggered nothing. And now you're 2-6, and the math is just starting to math against you a little bit here.
Yeah.
Is their pride kicking in, or are they folding up their tents?
Well, I don't know. I think the biggest thing is, as an organization, there's no way in hell they're going to trade for Devontae Adams, have Aaron Rodgers on the roster, and be sellers at the trade deadline or anything.
Right. I don't anticipate that.
I think they're, like, by any means possible, I think they got to scratch and claw their way into perhaps an historical comeback. But a lot of that starts on Thursday night, right before the trade deadline. What are we as a football team? And you've got a chance maybe for the second week in a row. I feel like you really threw a wrench into anything good that might happen in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. especially with Anthony Richardson playing the way he did. If you want to take down an AFC opponent and just put a notch on your gun barrel, they're probably not going to use that on Amazon. you could spoil their season with this one. You could put the nail in the coffin.
Yeah, you could.
Even though the front office and everything might not acknowledge it, it's going to be really hard. If Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams don't start to show some real chemistry, then that's pretty much it for the Jets.
It sounds weird to say this because they just lost Stephon Diggs yesterday to some sort of knee injury. Again, we don't know the severity, unless there's a push notification waiting on my phone from somebody. We don't know the severity of the Stephon Diggs knee injury. Nico Collins, by rule, still has to miss one more game with his hamstring injury. All reports are he's coming along great. They need him on that Sunday night game against Detroit, especially if they don't have Diggs. And yet, compared to the Jets game from last year in Week 14, if you recall, that was the game right after Tank had broken his leg in Week 13. Obviously, Diggs wasn't on the team last year. And Nico Collins went out of that game during the first series. So, and Joe Mixon wasn't on this team. So, weirdly enough, in a season where they've lost Nico Collins to a hamstring injury for a period of time, Stephon Diggs might be done for the year with a knee injury, I would still argue that they're going into this Jets game with better weaponry than they had once Nico Collins went out of that game last year.
No, I think that's a very fair point. And you've got a lot more guys who just simply have time in the system. And but those are also all the things that led us to believe, like wow, this should be a high-powered passing attack this year. All of these things, plus the addition of Diggs and Mixon, obviously. You're going up against a Jets defense that my knee-jerk reaction is to say, hey, those guys are really good, and yet personnel-wise, performance-wise, they're not the same unit now that they were before.
No.
So you're my fear quotient for C.J. Stroud's health and personal safety would be a lot better, except that the one guy, Quinnen Williams, is right smack dab there. Yeah, and even if the defense as a total isn't performing the way they used to, look at those defensive tackles yesterday for Indianapolis. They were taking their turns at times.
They were.
It looked downright illegal what they were doing to the left guard position. So that still remains a big, 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 big factor.
Who was he lined up over when he concussed C.J. Stroud last year? What position was that?
It was
left guard, right?
Yeah, Quinnen Williams. Juice Scruggs was playing left guard.
Yeah, you just mentioned left guard. Yeah. I think that's where he was lined up. Yeah. Juice Scruggs was playing it last year.
So Kendrick Green and why he didn't go in, that's the big curiosity. Kendrick Green was, he didn't look happy on the sideline.
Well,
I don't like to read people's body language.
I was wondering at the time. I mean, we were all up in the press box watching it and speculating about it. And we were all excited to see Patterson go in and equally excited to see Jared Patterson play well. He did his job. That's all you need to do. Left guard, just do your job. And then he goes out with a concussion. And that was the big question up in the press box. Like, okay, was this just Kenyon needs to sit because he's not playing well. Jarrett's our second string guy. So now Jarrett's out. Kenyon goes back in. Or is this we're putting anybody but Kenyon Green in at left guard right now?
I
would have liked to have seen Kendrick Green.
Yeah, putting anybody but Kendrick Green in.
No, I meant if they put Kendrick Green in, that means Kenyon, yeah, you ain't playing. Like, anybody but you.
I'm looking forward to Al Michaels having, I just want Al to very, he'll nail Kendrick Green and Kenyon Green.
Yeah.
And I'll just sit back in admiration because I botch it at least three times a week.
That's why he's the GOAT, man.
Yes, yeah, that's it specifically.
That's why he's the GOAT.
So Kendrick Green, look, Kendrick Green is built like the fullback that they sometimes have him play. He's got stumpy arms. He's not tall. But you talk about that dog quotient or how swarmy is he? He's swarmy. He's very swarmy. Yeah. He plays his butt off. Like, he does everything that an undersized offensive lineman need to do. Remember when he first got here? I was watching his Pittsburgh film when he was playing center. And I was like, well, look, I'm going to make a comparison. He's not there yet, but his avenue to being good is to be like Mark Stepanski was. So Oilers fans remember Mark
Stepanski.
Undersized, but really scrappy. Just used his hips and technique really, really well. So he's got that scrappiness to him. But I think he's also a guy that offensive line coaches look at him and they think like, he don't have the length. This is the problem. Kenyon Green physiologically looks a lot better than Kendrick Green. He's got the long arms. But Kenyon Green chooses not to use his long arms.
That's a mistake.
You've got these long arms, and they just might as well be flapping to the side. Yeah. You're letting defensive linemen who themselves have long arms just basically snatch you by the chest and just off with you. And there he goes.
Yep.
Or Kendrick Green would at least bite him as he went by.
He would give him a bite on the thigh or something. That's right. So Texans Jets Thursday night this week. We're gonna look back at 7 a.m. at yesterday's game through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. We'll look at all the big plays from yesterday's win over the Colts. The Texans' schedule gets crazy now. For a team that's basically been doing noon Sunday for 95% of the last 2 years, this thing turns into an acid trip this week, man.
Yeah.
Thursday Night Football Jets, followed by Sunday Night Football here, Detroit Lions, followed by Monday Night Football Cowboys. And then you get kind of a couple division games and a bye week, and then all of a sudden you're into that 3 games in 11 days with the Dolphins here, the Chiefs on a Saturday, and then the Ravens on Christmas Day on a Wednesday. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for it, okay. Sean. I'm ready for the disruptions and sleep cycle. I'm ready to go to bed too excited and happy to sleep.
I know, man.
Potentially too angry and disturbed to sleep. Who knows?
Like five Christmases.
This will come of it. Very important, I know, to D'Amico Ryans. Yeah. Primetime games, good time for individual accolades. There you go. I was being sarcastic about D'Amico liking it. But MVP races, defensive player of the year, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which, nobody will claim to care about that stuff. But for us, it's fun.
It is fun.
It's fun to watch the players who can perform in under the bright lights.
The closest one to getting that hardware right now is Will Anderson. He's number 2 on the board for defensive player of the year. And he came into the post-game show yesterday with me and Clint looking like a future defensive player of the year.
I know. He looked like you said the schedule looks like an acid trip. He looks like a hardcore
dude.
He looks like one of those country singers from the 70s.
Yes.
Yeah.
Black cowboy hat, shades, leather jacket.
Looked like he'd seen
boots.
Some stuff. Yeah.
Oh, he was great.
And you got the championship belt.
Yeah, we got our belt picture with Will Anderson.
So Will's got 7.5 sacks. He went into yesterday fifth or sixth, tied with Max Crosby for fifth or sixth in the league on the sack board. I haven't checked it after yesterday's results.
Yeah.
But the big thing with Will is it's not just the sacks, it's the tackles for a loss too. And Max Crosby likewise has a bunch of those. Two defensive ends have some of the most tackles for a loss in the league. And it's so with Will, he's got all that energy. He's refined his technique. He's become more of a true edge rusher. Instead of a strong, fast guy that just goes real hard and tries to bull rush all the time, he's really refined his technique and he's coming into his own. And now, over these last few weeks, I've started to feel more comfortable thinking, this guy is a guy that can be in contention for All-Pro, Defensive Rookie of the Year, all those things.
You pointed it out. These guys that are in that conversation every year, those edge rushers that are in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation, they are good rookies, but not great as rookies.
Yeah.
They're guys that get 8 or 9 sacks. You're like, and Will had 7.5 last year through the whole season. He's got 7.5 now through 8 weeks.
It was one of the few times I said something shooting from the hip that I decided to fact check myself.
You were good.
And I was correct.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The fact checking wasn't miserable.
Good job, man.
No, like the vast majority of the top sack producers in the past decade did not have double-digit sacks their rookie year.
That's right.
They would get high 7s, 8s, or 9s, and then their second year is when they would take off, much like it was with J.J. Watt.
Indeed. All right, headlines up next. We'll circle back to Texans and Colts. Some crazy stuff going on around the NFL yesterday, early window and late window. And in the Sunday night window, I know there's a lot of happy Houstonians based on the result of that game. So we'll get into all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
One snap for the Colts, 1 second left. Texans up three, trying to hang on. Richardson out of the gun. Here's the snap. He steps to his left. Richardson in trouble. And Richardson's going to be sacked. Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter get him. The ball comes out. There's a scrum for it. Everybody's still chasing it. And Will ends up with it. Game over. Houston wins. Bye-bye, Colts. 23-20 Texans. They sweep the season series for the second time ever. And run their record to 6-2. A commanding lead in the AFC South.
It's huge. You know, it's they're always a tough opponent. You know, divisional games are some of your hardest games. So when you can find a way to win, you know, we do, you know, we clean up some things. We got a lot of other things to clean up as well. But I definitely, you know that, you know, we're a heck of a football team and we just got to keep putting on film. And, you know, once we, you know, figure out the little kinks and things that we need to figure out, I think, you know, we're going to be rolling.
That was CJ Stroud. Prior to that, Mark Vandermeer on the call. Texans win 23-25 long years. Mark Vandermeer has waited to say bye-bye, Colts, from this building.
Yeah.
That's the first time since 2019. A lot of streaks in this game.
First time the Texans have swept the Colts since 2016,
The
right?
old Brockaroo did it back in 2016.
Did Brock play in both those games?
He did indeed.
Good job, Brock.
He did indeed, yeah. That was the one thing. Remember, the one thing you couldn't do to Brock was knock him out of a game.
No, it was so annoying. He was like damn Gumby. Yeah. He could do anything like, you wanted to him.
Durable as hell, man.
He just stay right out there.
Durable as hell. But yeah, 2016, last time they swept the Colts. First time they've beaten the Colts at NRG Stadium since 2019. This is now six straight AFC South wins for the Houston Texans, and they are now 12-4 in one score games under DeMeco Ryans, whose overall record as head coach of the Texans in the regular season is 16-9.
Yeah,
16 of the 25 games that DeMeco Ryans has been the head coach in have sounded like that at the end of the game.
Been
coming down to the last 30 seconds or sometimes the last 0 seconds.
It's funny because I think, obviously, last year, when the expectations were different, I think there'd be very little skepticism and there would be no lack of enthusiasm over a 6-2 football team that had won a bunch of close games last year. And people would be pointing out, yeah, but, and I'd say, yeah, I know, but look at how far they've come.
They were picking second in the draft in April.
As I would say, I agree with every counter argument. I agree with the counter arguments, okay? Yeah. But it's just the expectations are different this year, and this offense is a middling offense in a lot of regards, despite having some high-powered names on there. So that's where the frustration comes in. I do think that, in some ways, I feel almost guilty that I am not 100% full-bore. Like I can't give the 100% stamp of authenticity on the defense just yet. And I'm really excited about the way they're playing and everything that they're doing, but part of it is just... I just need more examples versus really good receiving cores and really good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know? And it's not like they played awfully versus Green Bay. They had a great game versus Josh Allen. Josh Allen was down as number one receiver and et cetera, didn't have Amari Cooper yet. But that was a really good performance. I think why I'm guilty about it, why I feel guilty about it, is I think the defense is doing so many little things well and is a little bit of a no-name defense in a lot of regards, so it just doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same as they're performing, but obviously there's not a chance in hell they'd have this record without the defense being as good as it is.
Can I give you a stat that was just actually sent to me by the aforementioned Mark Vandermeer? He tweeted this. Vandy tweeted, lowest completion percentage with 30 plus attempts in a single game in the last 10 seasons.
Yeah.
The lowest two are Anthony Richardson yesterday. That's second lowest. The lowest one was Josh Allen three weeks ago.
The Josh Allen completion percentage,
that's legit.
That is something to be proud of. Yeah. The problem with the Anthony Richardson one is that it's like kind of like bragging to your buddies about bagging a woman that's been with a lot of your buddies. Anthony Richardson is not a good NFL quarterback.
Yeah, but 32% though, man, on 32 attempts. I know he's hovered around the 50, you know, the 40s and the 50s.
True. They held him.
I mean, they held him to what I would imagine. Well, I can't even say I would imagine is a career low. I can certainly envision Anthony Richardson having a worse game than that. Well, but maybe with less
you know
than
what?
30
okay.
attempts.
Okay, you know what? No, I'm all right. I'm glad
Vandy
said
that. Give
it
to the defense,
okay.
by God.
Anthony Richardson has been at or below 50% in 5 of the 6 games he's played this year.
Okay.
The only time he was above it was because he was 3 for 4 against the Steelers and got sent out. So every game that he's played meaningful snaps, he's been 50% or lower. The only time he was lower than the 2 times he played the Texans was versus the Dolphins. So they've got 2 of the... but 31 was the lowest.
Yeah.
So 2 of his 3 lowest completion percentage.
Okay. But he obviously had less than 30 attempts against the Dolphins. That was a game where he ran it like 14 times last week.
Yeah. He took himself out of the game because he was tired yesterday.
Could you believe how little they ran him? Well, maybe they didn't run him because he was tired, I guess. I guess
he's tired, and like they can't run him every week. He's gonna get injured.
He was
holding his wrist in that game. He took himself, dude. I don't know what I would do if my quarterback took himself out of a game because he was tired.
Because he was tired.
Everybody's looking around like nobody even knows how to process
it's
it.
Brutal.
Colts fans are. It's one thing, they'll make excuses for a guy and everything, but your quarterback, the guy who's supposed to never leave the field, it's noteworthy if a guy willingly leaves the field so a different quarterback can come in or something. Took himself out because he was tired.
Around the NFL, not all the results here, but the ones that probably matter to Texan fans. In the division yesterday, the Jags lose to the Packers 30-27. The Titans get rolled up by the Lions 52-14. The Lions... Jared Goff had 85 yards passing, and they scored 52 points in that game yesterday. Crazy. Yeah. Patriots beat the Jets, as we mentioned. That's the Texans' next opponent, the Jets, 25-22. How about the Browns with old J-Mo at quarterback? 29-25. They go over the 20-point mark. He goes over the 300-yard mark. He goes over the amount of prayer in the pregame and postgame interviews. Mm-hmm. We'll acknowledge him for that later.
The whole thing about Jameis, I'll tell you what. I'm going to confess to this. There's just something about a winner. All his post-game speeches, his pre-game speeches. I'm like, you know what? This guy's got charisma. I went from being so sick of Jameis Winston to like, you know what? He's put himself through the ringer and he's come out the other side, got himself clean a few years back, and he's a changed man. And just listen to him now.
He is a character, man. We'll hear from Jameis and acknowledge me at about 7:20-ish on the show. Other results last night. 30-24, the 49ers beat the Cowboys. So the Cowboys fall to 3-4 on the season. Hail Mary. That'll get acknowledged in the 7 o'clock hour. The end of that Washington game. A Washington and Chicago game that involved the top 2 picks in the draft. Both of whom have been playing well this year. Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. And that game was boring as hell for like 55 minutes.
Yeah.
And then all hell broke loose. That game got on acid in the last 5 minutes of the
Brown.
Game. Noah Brown.
Noah Brown caught the Hail Mary.
Caught the Hail Mary, man. They could use Noah Brown right now.
Speaking of being on acid, that whole game yesterday, I was wondering. I was like, this is all right. We're living in a simulation. What the hell's going on here? There's so many weird things in that game.
We'll get to all of it, man.
Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
We'll get to all of you. She's
are we in headlines
the,
right now?
The, and, yeah, we're in headlines
damn
right
it.
Now. That's why I'm sprinkling in some scores.
We had the NFL Films people in here for the first 2 segments, and I felt like Huckleberry Finn wearing a 3-piece suit.
You were fine.
These guys.
You had two really good segments.
They were just like, we want to talk.
What are you talking about?
They asked us to talk about a couple specific things. And I'm like, don't fence me in, buddy.
I thought we were amazing. It's all good.
No, I was good.
Yeah.
The Huckleberry Finn can pour on the charm when he wants to.
He can.
I got to get back to walking around barefoot and...
Mm-hmm.
And using for, racial slurs,
looking for,
I guess.
Looking
yeah,
for Becky it. Thatcher.
All my Huck Finn.
All your Huck Finn.
I want to go back to a time when people were like Huckleberry Finn.
Kids, Mark Twain.
Yeah.
Yankees trail in the World Series of the Dodgers 2-0. And the Rockets lose to the Spurs on Saturday night. Rematch tonight in San Antonio. All right, those are your headlines for today. Up next, we'll hear from D'Amico Ryans, the locker room speech. How fired up does he get you? And we will go through yesterday's game, all the high and low points from yesterday's game through the voice of the Texans, Mark Vandermeer. We acknowledge at 7:20 on the show today. That is next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, congrats, man. Congrats, man. Congrats. Give it up for yourself. Hey, congrats. Hey, man, we talked about it. starting on Wednesday, right? No strain, no gain, right? You guys relentlessly went out, man, and so to 1 second on the clock. It took everybody in this room, it took every single second for us to strain and be relentless as possible to finish 1-0, all right? And that's what it takes every single week, all right? I love everybody in this room. Appreciate the effort from everybody, all right? Support staff, coaches, players, everybody here, man. We do this thing together, right? Love the way we hunt together. And it'll always be about that. Team first every single time. Y'all with me?
Sir.
Hey, man. Got another one Thursday. All right. Got another one Thursday. Quick turnaround. Quick turnaround for us. We'll get the schedule to you guys. We'll be ready to go. But right now, y'all want everybody thinking about recovery. All right. Rest, recover. Rest, recover. Let's rinse and repeat. Thursday night, we going to New York, baby.
Yeah, I love that D'Amico's excited about everything.
I think, oh yeah, he's the most. You know what? It's funny. We talk about who's a dog and who's not. DAWG.
Yeah,
D'Amico is also the most DOG like an actual dog in terms of temperament. I think. You know, like oh, the guy that's like oh, he's always ready to go. He's always got a smile on his face. He'll throw. Yeah, I'll play fetch with you. Of course, I will. Right now, let's do this. Let's have some fun with this life.
Do you think there's any planes that he gets on as a DOG dog, and he's like, hey, wait a second. We're going to, you're going on vacation and taking me to the kennel.
For a second, I thought I was going trick-or-treating, but yeah. We're going to play the Jets.
I recognize this route. We're going to play the Jets. No, he seems
that
excited.
That would be Jack Easterby. If Jack Easterby, we'd be around. he'd have D'Amico involved in all kinds of nefarious schemes, and D'Amico wouldn't even know it, you know?
Oh, man.
Two things about that little clip. I got excited when he talked about no strain, no gain.
Wow.
Because, okay, obviously it's a play on no pain, no gain. But it's a better and more accurate way to frame it. D'Amico is a master of reframing things and getting guys to approach challenges a certain way.
Yeah.
Remember his second year as coordinator in San Francisco, they told a story during the playoffs about Lenore, the cornerback, who was going to get targeted because he was playing opposite a much better cornerback.
Yep.
And D'Amico told him, like, look, yeah, you're going to get targeted more. You got to look at those as opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your chances to make plays. And Lenore ended up making some big plays in those playoffs because they were targeting him, you know.
Still a fixture on their team now.
So D'Amico's really good at that stuff. The other side of it, though, too, is in framing the challenge of playing on Thursday Night Football, there are a lot of things that suck about it. We had NFL Films in here filming some footage that they might use for like 6 seconds in the pregame. But
in the open, the big open that they do.
So I wasn't going to talk truly about the challenge of playing Thursday Night Football because a lot of it is just bogus BS that you have to...
That you have to play Thursday
Night. This is the thing, Bezos.
Yeah.
You got to... no, this is the thing that sucks and is stupid about it. It's that if you're injured, it's not just a matter of like, oh, getting your energy back up and everything else. It's hard to get out there and play on an ankle that maybe you wouldn't have even practiced on a Thursday in a normal week.
Most weeks you'd be listed as limited on the practice report.
Yeah.
You're getting ready to play an NFL game.
Right. And you're playing an actual game. But the timing of it is such. And I would imagine D'Amico is going to talk about this during the week. You know, he talks about recovery being the most important thing.
Yeah.
You've got 4 days to recover, 4 nights to get sleep, all those things. You can get a huge advantage over other teams that if they're not. In a team like the Jets, they're right at the point where some guys who are of a lower caliber of professionalism might start to let go of the rope a little
bit.
That's
what I'm wondering.
That's a good question by you that you asked earlier. So, yeah, this is, I do think there's a huge advantage in having the right mindset, not on Thursday night, because everybody's going to show up and play, but in your preparation, when you're tired, when your body doesn't feel right, the mental side of this, and then also getting, maybe normally on a Sunday night, you go out and you have a few drinks with the fellas. Don't do that, obviously.
Yeah, right.
This is a week where every night of sleep and the benefit you get from it is amplified that much more. So I think I like that part of D'Amico's preparation.
Yeah, I trust this team and I trust this coach in this situation. This should be fun, man. Jets on Thursday night. Let's dig into yesterday, though. So the Texans, they beat the Colts 23-20. Once again, there were junctures in this game where this game didn't have to be as close as it was. But
this game was on an acid trip.
This game was
so many weird things that kept happening.
There were.
Fueled mostly by Anthony Richardson, but other weird stuff as well.
Well, there was a good play that Anthony Richardson had, and this is what got the Colts an early lead here in this game. This was Anthony Richardson getting nearly half of his passing yards yesterday on one play after a mix-up in the Texans secondary.
On second and nine, Richardson calls for the ball. Here it is. Fakes the give. Steps back deeper. Wants to unload deep. He does. Downfield it goes. And Downs is wide open. Left side 35-30. Left sideline 20. 15-10-5. Touchdown. Josh Downs running free in the secondary and scoring for the Colts to give them the lead. A 69-yard touchdown pass.
How do you get that wide open?
Well, a legal pick. A rub. Yeah. When it's legal, it's called a rub.
Yeah.
I felt like the receiver that picked off Jalen
Petrie.
Petrie. I thought he altered his path a little bit, but it wasn't enough to be egregious.
I felt like Petrie kind of more ran into his teammate than anything.
Yeah. Like so. Well, that's what it was. Huh? Yeah. So it was a clean rub that happens on those crossing routes.
I'd go back and watch it, but that's what I thought I saw the one time I watched that play. Right
now, that's where I got nervous because the old Anthony Richardson that would have missed that wide open wide receiver Josh Downs. He can make the incredible circus throws.
That was early in the game.
Yeah. And look, and we'll get to when Jalen Petrie makes up for this play. But that's just the one area of some of the inexperience in the secondary that still pops up at times.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time where Jalen Petrie is a really smart player, but he's still young and is playing in this role for the first time. This amount of man coverage that he's playing. That's going to get better. I think that'll get better over the course of the season. He's doing a lot of really positive things.
It was just so frustrating because to that point, the Colts had scored over the course of the two games. They'd scored on the Texans six times.
Yeah.
Four touchdowns in the opener in week one, and then a field goal and a touchdown yesterday to go up 10-3. Every single one of those drives included some 50-plus yard play, if not a touchdown of 50-plus yards. Even the field goal that they kicked in the first quarter of this game was set up by a 55-yard kickoff return.
Yeah.
So, all the things we're saying going into this game, like the one thing I know that you and I kept listening first, like just don't give up those big plays. Just don't give up. This team cannot put together, the Colts I'm talking about, 12-play, 82-yard drives by getting 8-yard chunks at a time.
No. Unless part of it is Anthony Richardson and Jonathan. Some of their big. You look at their big plays in this game, and they had way more runs than passes in the big. But those big passes were damaging. Yeah. You know, like Josh Downs down in the end zone was it a Downs touchdown that was reversed and made 1 yard line?
Yeah. Yep.
So Downs specifically yesterday. That could have been backbreaking, and it was one of those things where. Like, would they have been better with Joe Flacco in the game? I don't know. I can't figure Anthony Richardson out. I do not. He's a horrendous quarterback, but he's a terrifying running back.
Yeah.
And I think I was trying to figure out yesterday whether is Derrick Henry a better running back playing quarterback than Anthony Richardson? Because Anthony Richardson is like a running back who's allowed to throw a bunch of halfback passes.
Oh, yeah, Henry plays wildcats.
Henry actually
sometimes.
Plays pretty well. He has like every now and then he has like a nice jump pass with touch. I feel like Derrick Henry could be better doing what Anthony Richardson's doing right now.
Be a fun experiment.
Than Anthony Richardson
is. Be a fun experiment. So the Texans go down 10-3 on that Josh Downs touchdown. I like this that they responded with a touchdown drive of their own. Now we should point out on this touchdown drive, they replaced Kenyon Green with Jarrett Patterson.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to move the football down the field. 10 plays, 70 yards, 5 minutes and 46 seconds. This is what it's supposed to look like. And it ends with this Joe Mixon touchdown run.
First down Texans at the Colts 14, Stroud under center. Handoff Mixon, starts right, cuts left, 10, 5. Mixon still going, takes out a defender, and takes the ball into the end zone. Jones couldn't bring him down. Mixon has 6 for Houston, and they can tie the game with the extra point.
Mixon with a grown man run. Get off me. What a run by Joe Mixon. I am a fan.
It is.
Dre was on a heater yesterday,
no,
man.
No, Mixon, my God. You talk about the heart and the soul of the team, old school running back, all of those things. He 100% makes the players around him better.
Yeah.
When you talk about MVPs of a team or a unit and what can they do, man, Mixon right now might be the MVP in terms of his ability to make guys around him better than they are.
Yeah.
And it's with the offensive line, they have a lot of plays where four guys are having a good rep and one guy's screwing up or one guy's getting blown into the backfield. And Joe Mixon turns a lot of those plays into positives or relative positives. Now, that play there was blocked up really well. You got a nice, I can't remember who the tight end was, but had a really nice kick out block, cut block, I believe. And but then Joe Mixon just does it with grit getting into the end zone.
Yeah, there was a bit of everything on that run, so that was cool. Now comes the sequence at the end of the half, which decided the game, in my opinion. Ultimately, this was the difference in the game. The Texans have a drive where they're looking to get points. They're doing their thing. They're kind of moving slow at the end of the half to make sure they're possessing the football. And unfortunately, they get to a 3rd and 8 at the Indianapolis 36. They're in field goal range, and CJ takes a sack. Can't take a sack there. That was one of the few mistakes I thought CJ. Now, the offensive line was not good, but you got to find a way to get rid of that football. CJ sacked, loses 9 yards. Now you're out of field goal range. Now you're punting. And you punt back to the to the Colts, who get the ball on their own 5-yard line. So kudos to Tommy Townsend, who, similar to the end of the Buffalo game, after the Texans kind of botched some things around field goal range, Tommy Townsend, because that was the Buffalo game was CJ throwing the intentional grounding.
Yeah.
So it's similar situation to where you're in field goal range, you make a mistake, now you're out of field goal range. Tommy Townsend pins them down on the 5. Again, similar to the Josh Allen situation at the end of the game. I can justify letting Josh Allen throw the football at least once just to see if he gets you a play. I cannot justify Anthony Richardson throwing the football down inside his own 10-yard line. So here's what happened. 1st and 10 at the 5, and they run Jonathan Taylor on 1st down.
Yeah.
Clock's running. Neither team's using a timeout.
Right.
D'Amico seemed content to go into the locker room 10-10 at the half. Otherwise, he'd have been using a timeout there, I would imagine. 2nd and 3, they let Anthony Richardson throw the football with 39 seconds left, and it's damn near a pick 6 by Kamari Lassiter.
Mm-hmm.
So the very next play, what do? Do you hand the ball off and just go in the locker room? Nope. You drop Anthony Richardson, the worst passer in football, back to throw on his own 12-yard line with under 30 seconds to go in the half. And here's what happens.
Richardson, empty backfield. He's in the gun. Here's the snap. Richardson looking, firing right side. It's picked off by Petrie. Petrie running across the 10 to his right, and he's stacked up inside the 8-yard line. Richardson coughs it up. Jalen Petrie with the INT. 1st and goal, Houston.
First and goal.
The funny thing about that is Petrie's had some good examples this year of baiting guys. I thought he did a good job of in the Green Bay game. He kind of baited Jordan Love on what ended up being a Neville Hewitt interception, but it was his ability to disguise that was part of the things that created that. This is just Jalen Petrie being back in his zone where he'd started out. There were no deep routes, and Anthony, it's an empty backfield. I'm guessing Jalen Petrie is thinking, all right, this is a QB draw or something, except they didn't. There's no excuse for Shane Steichen calling this play with that quarterback, unless he's trying to get Anthony Richardson benched.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense. You've got a guy who's got a career. He's below 50% completion percentage right now. He's thrown more. Going into that game, he's thrown twice as many interceptions as touchdowns.
Seth.
And you put it completely in his passing hand.
He was 2 for 14 when he threw that interception.
Yeah. Yeah.
2 for 14.
2 for 14. And yet, I mean, there was a while there where his QB rating was still over 100 when he was like 2 for 11 because of
the 81 yards.
Yeah, because the 81-yard
69 yards or whatever.
They converted 2 third downs on the day. They were 2 for 14 or something on 3rd downs.
Incredible.
It's crazy.
Incredible.
And yet I'm still scared of him. So Jalen Petrie, good job. That was just Jalen Petrie understood the situation, understood the route combo they were seeing. And he was in perfect position to jump that through sheer idiocy by Shane Steichen and Anthony Richardson.
Thank God. And then the very next play, here's what happened.
Strad in the gun. 1st and goal at the 7. 1 back, Mixon. Bunch formation right. CJ to throw. Looking. CJ steps up, fires right side of the end zone.
Yes!
Hook! Touchdown! Houston! Tank Dell! The Texans take the lead.
It is homecoming weekend for the University of Houston. Only proper that Tank put one in the end zone.
There you go.
My only complaint about that was that they scored immediately, rendering the tight end the timeouts that the Texans had saved.
Oh yeah,
moot. I think there were Colts fans that actually wished the Texans had used all their timeouts, like with multiple attempts down there at point blank range, just to really drive the point home that y'all screwed up. You are idiots. What the hell?
Because
Colts fans probably were hoping that Anthony Richardson would get benched at that point.
Oh
too.
My god, yeah, they had to be right. I mean, I know as a Texan fan coming out at halftime, so that touchdown put the Texans up 17-10. They handed the Texans, I say handed, that was a hell of a throw by C.J. Stroud.
John Harris weighing in, Richardson checked into that play.
Johnny was down there, he would know. Oh my God.
Richardson.
Thank God for Anthony Richardson, man. So that they handed the Texans the opportunity for 7 points. C.J. Stroud took it. That was a hell of a throw to Tank Dell. And the Texans go into the locker room up 17-10. Game they win by 3 points. You give them 7 points at the end of the half right there. So let's get to a couple things in the second half here, and then we'll start acknowledging some people. The Texans, 17-10 at the half. They continued throughout the second half. They never trailed in the second half of this game. Once they took that 17-10 lead, they eventually made it 20-10. Colts would get a field goal to make it 20-13. Texans get the ball, and this was I don't know if this was the drive where Diggs got hurt, but it was definitely the play you're about to hear was after Diggs got hurt. And this is something the Texans may need with Stephon Diggs out and with Nico Collins out for at least one more game this Thursday. C.J. Stroud converting a huge, huge play to John Metchie.
C.J. out of the gun. In the pocket, looking, now dancing to the right side, directing traffic, throws downfield, and caught by Metchie! Inside the 25, heads to the sideline. What a play to John Metchie to the 21-yard line. They cash in.
That was on a 2nd and 19. The Texans had 1st and 10 at the end of the third quarter at the Indianapolis 40. So they're in range to get another score, and they come off the sideline to begin the fourth quarter. And they get the 4-yard loss by Mixon was the last play of the third quarter. 2nd and 14, Tunsil gets a false start. Hadn't had one in a month, and he gets a false start there. 2nd and 19, that was the play. That Metchie caught that on 2nd and 19 to get them into the red zone.
And
right
when CJ started scrambling, John Metchie was just sitting in the hook curl area there in the middle of the field with two defenders near him.
Mm-hmm.
CJ started scrambling on the sideline. CJ had two receivers downfield on the right sideline, and Metchie just comes over, gets open, uses that space, and CJ found him, and that was beautiful.
Good to see.
Nice scramble drill there. Yep. And him also, you know, CJ having the presence of mind that as he's working towards the sideline, he's coming back across his body to see John Metchie coming open. That was the kind of stuff that didn't feel like would have happened in the preseason, where Metchie just didn't quite seem to be in the flow of things.
Yeah.
That was beautiful on that. It was just flat-out scramble drill.
Yep, good chemistry right there. Now, the next series of downs ended with Metchie catching a negative 3-yard missile screen with Xavier Hutchinson as his blocker. I don't know if on a 3rd and 2, gotta have it play on the Indianapolis 13, I'm throwing a missile screen with my two most experienced guys catching
with,
and blocking.
With a guy up on the ball, I just don't know.
I didn't get that.
You're
pounding Mixon on that series. Mixon got you to 3rd and 2 on that series.
Sometimes the Texans have to rely on their offensive line to block, which, you know, like every play.
Yeah.
And, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
There's other times where I fear that Bobby trusts his wide receivers, his blockers, a little too much.
A little too much, yeah. So that play, I didn't like that play call at all. Texans kick a field goal. They go up 23-13. Colts come back. They put together a 70-yard drive. Josh Downs, a big part of that again. Initially a touchdown. It was reversed, and Jonathan Taylor walks in from 1 yard out. So now it's 23-20, and the Texans get the ball. And they're putting a good drive together. Ultimately, it was a 9-play, 52-yard drive that ended in the inside the Indianapolis 10-yard line because of, I believe we've got the play right here, because of this play right here.
CJ with the toss to Joe, and it's going to be a loss on the play. Is it a fumble?
It is
a fumble. Adengo took it down.
It was a turnover. However, the runner was down by contact.
All right, they're going to call him down by contact.
okay, that highlight was truncated a little bit. They didn't play Mark. I'm assuming Mark doing a play-by-play of a would-be touchdown right there by Odiyingbo. Do I have his name right
Odiyingbo,
there?
Yes.
Odiyingbo, yeah. That was a hell of a play. I mean, if the ball was pitched forward, it would have been an interception. It never hit the ground.
I know. You're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So good job, CJ. It's not an interception.
No,
it was. But I will say, I mean, this is part of the offensive line coming back to bite here, too. It's that the play design and running it in that moment, tricky. I mean, Juice Scruggs gets driven back into CJ enough that I feel like CJ's feet were a little messed up, and it ended up being not a perfect pitch, but also Joe Mixon had to alter his route because you've got a defensive lineman in his face immediately, blowing by Robert Woods.
Can't happen.
Titus Howard's trying to pull around Robert Woods. It was too cute. It was ugly and disjointed. Yes, a little too cute.
Yeah.
A little too cute.
For that moment, it was too cute.
It's like Bobby in his oversized cap, where he looks a little too cute to be an offensive coordinator sometimes. He looks a little too much like a teenager getting ready to go to his sophomore year of high school.
How were you with Bobby yesterday?
Not great, Jim. Not great.
I mean, the two plays we just talked about are problematic, man.
They're problematic. There's some things in the run game that have worked well, and they're starting to get their feel for it. I think the tight ends, he's learning how to use his tight ends and what they can and can't do. So like that part of it is good. You're dealing with the absence of Nico Collins, and at the end of the game, Stephon Diggs. But there's a lot of the stuff that's going on the offense right now when it comes to pass protection with the offensive line, the tight ends, the running backs. That still just feels like they can't get the basics right. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that comes back on the offensive coordinator. Whether it's too much complexity or not teaching the game plan right or whatever their keys are on specific plays, they're just not on the same page.
Yep.
And it compounds. They're not dumb guys out there.
Yep.
They're not stupid. And whenever offensive linemen especially look stupid, when I know that they're not stupid, I go back to coaching, and something's not right here.
Quick text. Good morning. And by the way, the text is from the 5 Hour Energy fan line. 5 Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. Good morning. What do you think the plan is for Kenyon Green moving forward? This week, it's probably Kenyon Green again, only because I can't imagine Jared Patterson coming back from a concussion in 3 days.
Yeah. This defensive line, like the Jets defense, you fired a defensive-minded head coach who's had nothing but really good defenses going back to San Francisco. So for how many years now?
You essentially fired a good defensive coordinator while firing your head coach.
Right, right. So you fired Robert Saleh.
That makes no sense.
You changed the offensive coordinator, which Saleh wanted to do. But now the defense looks worse.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, there's been no spark offensively, even with the addition of Devontae Adams. That it looks like they've mangled this. But the Texans go up to New York as, I thought that they were 1.5-point underdogs.
It opened as a pick 'em,
okay.
Went to Jets -1. It's Texans -1 as of a half hour.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that thing's floating through the zero.
Got some of the sharps are out there straddling this mofo.
Who knows,
huh?
Man? They don't have much time to analyze it. It's Thursday night. Got to get on it. All right, let's acknowledge some people. Let's get to acknowledge me. We acknowledge big performances from over the weekend. Hopefully, we get to all these. We'll do a few Texans here. Joe Mixon, we can acknowledge and just rapid fire this. We talked a lot about Mixon today.
He glared at me, everybody. If you couldn't see it on the YouTube channel or Twitch, he glared at me. He said, hopefully we get through all these.
No, because I put too
Sean
many
Sean gave
in here.
Me a warning
no,
glance.
That's not
a
true.
Stern,
that's
yes.
That's a lie.
Yes.
That's a flat-out lie.
It's 100% true.
I put too many in here, but that's okay. We can do Mixon, we can do quickly. We've talked about Mixon a ton today already.
No, I love Joe Mixon.
I do too.
Joe Mixon is everything I want my future grandchild to play football like.
Yeah.
I want him if football is still legal by that point.
Yes. Fourth straight 100-yard game in games he started and finished for the team. If he starts and finishes a game, he gets 100 yards.
It's a statistical fact. It's not an opinion. It's not conjecture. It's not fake news.
And it's not, man, there will never, ever, ever be a debate about, is Mixon really that good, or is it just that he's running behind the 1990s Cowboys offensive line?
Yards over expected.
There will be there's not going to be any like, well, he was the recipient of a lot of good things around
him.
He is the straw that mixes the drink in a lot of ways.
Indeed. I want to acknowledge C.J. Stroud.
Acknowledge me!
And going back and watching the condensed version of this game and just going back, looking at some of the numbers, and then just remembering how much he was running around again yesterday. It wasn't quite Packers game bad, but he was under a lot of pressure. I think that might have been... It sounds crazy to say, because for C.J. it was just your garden variety, one touchdown pass, no interception, 285-yard game in the box score. And yet, if you watch that game, you know how much pressure he was under during that game. That he only took two sacks and threw no interceptions in that game. I think that was one of C.J. Stroud's better games as Texans quarterback yesterday.
He's had a few games this year where you look up at the box score and you realize, wait, he did a good job, because it doesn't look like quintessential vintage C.J. Stroud.
It looks like a struggle every play.
And then you go back and you're right. When you start watching the end zone copy, you realize, wow, to get to... To get to 60-plus percentage completion in this game, he had to do some pretty special things. The thing I worry about with CJ, and there's almost no correct way for him to handle this right now with the pass protection, is that you can pick out times in the last couple weeks where, if he had held onto the ball a little longer, he would have had Diggs. The play yesterday when he threw an out to Schultz and it was an errant throw and Diggs had his hands up in the air... Yeah, it was because Diggs was coming open and would have been wide open for a deep strike.
Yeah.
Except that CJ had pressure in his lap.
Yeah.
So he's got to find this balance now with inadequate pass protection where, look, you got to get rid of the ball more quickly. And Schultz is your read there. He's open. I'm not going to mess around with this. I'm going to get rid of the football. And that's a hard place to be as a quarterback, because you got to understand and accept, and he's doing this, that you're going to miss out on some opportunities downfield.
Yep. Okay, let's skip ahead here. I want to quickly acknowledge the Texans secondary.
Acknowledge
who held Anthony Richardson to the second lowest completion percentage of a quarterback throwing the ball 30 yards or more in the last 10 years. The only one lower was one the Texans secondary held Josh Allen to a few weeks ago. Jameis Winston.
Acknowledge
orator.
Me.
Yes, he's gone from annoying wannabe country preacher to now he is an orator.
He is an orator.
Now that he's a winner, now that he is like obviously better than Deshaun Watson, now he is an orator.
He won yesterday.
Yeah.
29-24, beat the Ravens. It's not like he went and beat the Panthers or something like that. He beat the Ravens yesterday. Threw for over 300 yards. This was Jameis Winston in the pregame yesterday.
Jameis, I can tell you're taking it all in right now. You're about to make your first start since 2022. Ken Dorsey said that he's been preaching to you to play smart but not conservative. What do you expect from yourself?
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it.
You're looking really focused right now. You told us this week that everyone inside this building believes that this is the time you guys can turn it around. What's been the message?
Unwavering faith. Ultimate belief, dependent on the Lord. That's all we got.
You told me no nerves, just excitement and butterflies. Still feel that way?
Unwavering faith, ultimate belief, dependence on the Lord.
The message is clear, guys. Thank you, Jameis.
The sideline reporter finally got on his level at the end. She was asking it with a sideline kind of inflection. And
Jameis is like, don't make me use scripture to get passive aggressive on you, lady.
I'm going to say it
with an increasingly menacing tone.
Okay,
so after the first one, he stared at the camera.
Yeah.
He said it into the camera. If they'd lost that game, this would have been... If he'd had a bad game.
Yeah.
I don't know. We might not have used that clip because it would have been a little bit sacrilegious.
Yeah, a little bit. But fortunately, he went out, won the game, and we got post-game Jameis.
Yeah.
It's not often that you get another opportunity like you have just received in the NFL. What does it mean to lead these guys, and what could be the start of what you said is something special moving forward?
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire, named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but
man, I'm just grateful. I'm grateful that the Lord provided me with this opportunity. I'm grateful for my teammates, my coaches, and these amazing fans.
Unbelievable performance today. Congratulations.
Unbelievable performance in that post-game interview. The Lord and Eminem. The two people that inspired him.
Is that
him
the white
victory.
Boy?
White boy was Eminem. It wasn't a white boy and Eminem.
I want to thank two people. Eminem and some other cracker ass.
Jameis is a dream, man. He is a dream.
For somebody, Jameis... Well, Jameis is old. I keep thinking... He's not a kid, obviously.
No.
He's a full-grown man.
No.
So good job, Jameis Winston.
Can Jameis... And Eminem pray for Stephon Diggs' knee for us? Is there a quote that we can get out there to get Stephon Diggs' knee?
I don't even
knee
know which celebrities
this?
I want to talk about until after the election's
good
over.
Call,
Seth. Everybody,
that's a good call.
I say, if I'm not either crushing Eminem or building him up, people are going to think they know my political beliefs.
Good
so
call.
I just take a hiatus from any celebrity for the next few days.
As long as we're talking about the gods, the football gods in this case. I feel like they were trolling us a little bit with this one yesterday, considering Nico Collins is out with a hamstring. Stephon Diggs goes down with what, who knows, maybe an ACL injury. Yeah. We don't know. Noah Brown.
Acknowledge me.
Hail Mary at the end of the, here's what it sounded like. The end of the Washington-Chicago game yesterday. Chicago leads by 3, 15-12. Here was the final play of the game.
Bears at 8, deep, 4 of them at the goal line. They bring 3. Daniels backing up. He's just going to have to let one fly. Goes to the right side. Steps away from the defenders. Gives himself some time. Now steps up, fires. Heads towards the end zone. It is...
Wow. I didn't know when they were going to say Noah Brown's name. Maybe never. That was Noah Brown catching that Hail Mary yesterday. The thing that made a lot of that got a lot of run from that Hail Mary, and I feel like you're watching
it
right
now. Yeah, the defensive back who
Tyreek Stevenson
had his back. Tyreek Stevenson had his back to the actual line of scrimmage as the snap after the ball had already been snapped, taunting the crowd.
Taunting the Washington crowd.
Yeah. Yeah, which I mean ultimately I don't think this is kind of like an outfielder being mic'd in a Major League Baseball game. By the time the ball was thrown, Stevenson had been checked into the play and he knew which play was coming.
It's bad mojo, man.
But it is. It's bad mojo.
Yeah.
And he ends up being one of the leapers there at the end.
Yeah.
This is relevant to this week's matchup for the Texans in that Aaron Rodgers is eerily and freakishly good at Hail Marys.
He's the Hail Mary
master. Yeah, he's got some of the most successful Hail Mary attempts among quarterbacks in NFL history. And the Texans have a history this season of allowing some big chunk plays
they
in the
do.
Passing game.
they do indeed.
So I'm not going to laugh too much at the misfortune of the Bears right this moment.
No. Well, Tyreek Stevenson, I will. That's just dumb.
Oh, yeah, Tyreek Stevenson
fans.
Couldn't keep his hands out of Texans' faces. Poke Nico Collins, give him the old Mo and Curly.
Yep.
In
sure
that game.
Did. Yep, the Sunday night
And then
game.
Nico destroyed him.
Yep, had it coming to him, man. Had it coming to
him. Oh, good. I'm glad that was Tyreek Stevenson.
Yes. Marcel Reed.
Acknowledge me.
A little college football in here. Freshman, your Aggies, Seth.
Mm-hmm.
Big win over LSU.
That's right.
On Saturday night. I love seeing Brian Kelly angry, which is most of the time. You know, like even when he's winning, he's angry.
He's an angry fella.
Yeah, he's a coach of LSU who used to coach Notre Dame. But Marcel Reed, the freshman quarterback, who... Kirk Herbstreit was turning it into like a Juan Soto. Hey, do you know Juan Soto is 21 years old?
Yeah.
Situation. Hey, do you know that Marcel Reed played with Kirk Herbstreit's son in Nashville?
Mm-hmm. Did he mention it over and over again?
Like six times
after
Reed came into the game. Yeah. Now, he was
Was it relevant?
Yeah, it was. I mean, because Marcel Reed, to a lot of people watching that game, was probably an unknown. He's a freshman quarterback. Yeah. But he came into that game only threw two passes, but it was for 70 yards. It was the damage he did on the ground that really helped A&M get over the top in this game. Look, this is a game LSU led 17-7, and they lost 38-23. The Aggies outscored them 31-6 down the stretch. I mean, we are on a collision course. I don't have a dog in the fight, Texas and Texas A&M, but they are on a collision course right now for a spot in the SEC title game.
Yeah.
And those tickets are already going for a ton.
Oh, boy, you wanted that rivalry back. Oh my goodness,
it's back. Yeah, it's back. So that's pretty cool.
The state of Texas is back, Sean?
I don't know if you heard. State of Texas is football.
Football
in the state
is
of
back.
Texas is back.
Yeah,
yeah, it's big. I think this football thing's going to take hold here. I think it's got a shot.
We had one of those NFL films guys that was in here. He's from Pennsylvania originally. Yeah. We were talking about like high school football in PA, and it's funny because it's big. But he was like, but you know, it's not. I mean, it's not, everybody always says it kind of and it's not Texas.
It is pretty.
There's no
big,
place
though.
Quite like Texas. No, it's huge. It's huge. But the schools aren't as big in Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, like they don't have these. $20 million facilities necessarily.
Correct.
It's just nothing is like Texas high school football.
You're right about that. Hey, let's give away some tickets to some Texas college football this weekend. Kansas State coming to town to play the University of Houston. Big win for the Cougs this weekend. Caller number 5 is going to get on out to TDCU Stadium this weekend to see U of H and Kansas State. 713-572-4610. Be caller number 5 right now, and you are on your way. We're doing this all week, so keep it tuned to Sports Radio 610. Up next, we mentioned this earlier. Let's touch on this in the final segment before we hand things over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris at 8 a.m. Texans Monday. The trade deadline's a week from tomorrow. Is Nick Caserio going to be shopping for some items maybe he wasn't expecting to be shopping for before yesterday's game? We'll discuss that coming up next.
And Pendergast is driven by West Point Lincoln at Katy Freeway. 1 mile west of the Beltway, exit Kirkwood, under the giant American flag. It's a Shoppers John Tier Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
Man, it's hard. I ain't gonna lie. That was a lot of running right there that I did, and I don't think I was gonna be able to do that next play, so I just, you know, just I was saying I just needed a break right there.
Okay, so that was Anthony Richardson,
yeah,
who came out for one play.
Yeah.
Joe Flacco came in on a third and long in Texans territory, handed the ball off, so he settled for a field goal there.
Yeah. He was out of breath. On the broadcast, they mentioned he'd been rubbing his wrist earlier, maybe there. He tapped his head, and you're wondering, like, does he have a concussion like he got in NRG Stadium last year? No, he was simply tired. This is something that I don't think any generation of people listening to right now who have watched football or have played football at high school, college, or the NFL, I'm guessing that they've never seen a quarterback remove himself from a game
because
he was tired.
Have you?
No.
Yeah.
No. It is. And Tiki Barber on the broadcast, I had to go back and listen to how they handled it on the broadcast. And Tiki Barber, it sounded like he didn't quite know how to absorb that. My first thought was, well, clearly it can't be that, right? Like, they're just not telling the truth yet. There's got to be more to it.
It'd be that.
He confirmed it because the team had said, no, he was just tired. That's an uncomfortable. Like, dude, that's a leader of your team. Pat McAfee, this is where I know Colts fans, Pat McAfee, when Pat McAfee, who had been, you know, full-throatedly endorsing Anthony Richardson, he said, I had never seen an NFL QB tap out while still being healthy until watching Anthony Richardson. The QB is your franchise. The message it sends is loud and influential. We are dudes who tap out when we're tired.
We're screwed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's really only one position group on the field that it's part of the culture of just getting a blow is defensive line.
Yeah.
Because the defensive line, you treat it like a hockey line almost. You're rotating guys in, and you'd rather have usually a backup with fresh legs is better than the starter who's gassed.
Yeah.
So it's no big deal. That's common. Quarterback is at the other end of the spectrum. Get taken out unless you've got some gadget. If you're a statue quarterback that has an athletic quarterback that can come in on short yardage or whatever, but you don't tap out because you're tired.
I think defensive line, and I think if you're a skill guy who just busted a long play.
Right, wide receivers too. Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah.
Running backs. So I think those are the only ones those are the only ones I can ever remember seeing do it. Real quick, because
he did. Is just by way of illustrating, he threw Foley Fatukasi off his back on that play.
That was impressive.
It was pretty damn impressive.
Yeah, that was.
And then he ruined it.
Yeah,
it's like he painted the Mona Lisa,
right,
and then took a dump on it.
Right,
by just leaving
by being tired.
After. Wow, what a play! Okay, I gotta leave now.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm tie. Yeah.
Made me happy.
So yeah, I was happy to see Flacco come in that instance because he was coming off the bench cold, and they end up handing the ball off. They didn't even let Flacco throw it.
I thought at that point,
the guy's
honestly,
a much better thrower of the football.
I you know what I thought, because it was third and long, is that maybe they're doing some like sort of platoon thing where on obvious passing downs they're bringing in Joe Flacco.
Right.
I'm like, now that's kind that of a smart sense. Thing. Yeah.
They've turned Shane Steichen into a plum fool. He doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He's out there. You know, it's like he's a highly trained sniper who all of a sudden they say, here, use a slingshot.
Yeah.
And it changes up his whole game, you know?
Yep.
Because that's what he's got, a slingshot of a quarterback.
Yep.
Every now and then you hit your target.
That's right. Big week for Nick Caserio. He's the general manager and executive vice president of the Houston Texans. He comes on our show every few weeks. Yeah. Okay. You've talked to him before. Trade deadline is a week from tomorrow.
I'm just laughing at that, because somehow that would get me to remember somebody that I hadn't.
Trade deadline tomorrow, a week from tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
Not a trade, but Nick has made a pickup that's already paid some dividends. Devin White looked pretty good
Devin
yesterday.
White doing he was on the field first, and then the first time I noticed him, they used him exactly how I think they thought they would use him early. They blitzed him, and Devin White is he's been inconsistent as a linebacker. People wonder, okay, what happened to him? Why isn't he this? Why isn't he that? He does a few things really, really well, and he shows up. Blitzing is one of them. He's just inconsistent when it comes to all the other linebacking stuff, making reads, taking angles, in coverage. But he's incredibly athletic. So I think that he's the perfect guy for DeMeco to bring in, use with a very defined role in specific situations, and then build from there. So I'm excited about him. Just for whatever it looks like for the rest of the season. I think they're going to use him in specific instances where he can do some good.
Is Nick shopping for wide receivers if Stephon Diggs is done for the year? Is he in on this?
You know what? It might be a window into exactly where Nico Collins is in his recovery.
Okay. That's true. He will not have been activated
around. If Nico comes back, you've got Tank Dell, you've got Nico, you've got Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie and Robert Woods, and that's still a really formidable wide receiving group.
Especially with this quarterback.
Yeah, I'm almost wondering if they trade for a wide receiver and they don't go after a guard.
Yeah.
Guard, it's weird. We're trying to figure out notable in-season offensive line trades.
Yeah.
And they're few and far between.
They are.
Because it's hard to just plug and play an offensive lineman, but I feel like anybody would be better than what they've got right now.
Joel Batonio's name got thrown around last week because the Browns are trading Amari Cooper, and they're going to be a seller probably, even though they won yesterday. They're probably going to sell off a few expensive pieces. It doesn't have to be Joel Batonio.
No. Yeah, it can be anybody. And the nice thing about running a Kubiak-Shanahan system is that every one of them are different, but the play calls have a certain language to them. The terminology is similar enough that I think a veteran offensive lineman can step in and be better than, now that Patterson is concussed, for right now might be the better option. I guess I'm really intrigued by Patterson. I wish for his own sake that he hadn't got a concussion, but also just to see him with more reps at left guard. He does some guard things better physically already, I can tell in one drive, than Kenyon Green does. Yeah. It's just a matter of, all right, when teams get some film on him and they start knowing how to play against them, does he sustain it?
We got guys asking about Cooper Kupp on the text page. I don't think the Rams are trading Cooper Kupp. I think that win over the Vikings on Thursday took Cooper Kupp off the trade market.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
And Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua both being on the field. Trade away Cooper Kupp. We just got Cooper Kupp back.
Right. The two names that were floating around yesterday at wide receiver were Deontay Johnson of the Panthers and Christian Kirk of the Jags. My initial thing on Kirk was, well, the Jags aren't trading anybody to the Texans, and now it doesn't matter. Christian Kirk has a broken collarbone, so he's going to be out for a long time.
Thanks a lot, Christian Kirk.
Way to go break your collarbone. I don't know if I'm into Deontay Johnson. He's been kind of a problem both places he's been so far.
So I guess the question there would be, okay, the Giants receiver that went to the Chiefs.
Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, thank you. Kadarius Toney, known for his tomfoolery. Well, he goes to the Chiefs for the back half of one season. Yeah. And he shows up big time in the playoffs. I think for a half season, you don't worry as much about, is this guy a perfect fit for the swarm mentality?
Yeah, maybe. Your point's a good one. The trade deadline's going to happen likely before they
activate Nico Collins.
Right.
So it'll be a really...
That's the first week. That week, Lions week, mind
Lions
you.
Lions week, yeah.
You're going to face the Lions. Yep. I don't know. Depending on what they could get for some of these veteran wide receivers or guys that can be a headache every now and then. I don't know. Just having them on the field might be worth it.
We'll see. Trade deadline will be a big topic the next 8 days for the Texans. But for now, they are 6-2, two games up in the division. Life is good in the standings right now, man.
It is. It is.
All right. We will be handing things over to Mark Vandermeer and John Harris. Seth, antibodies to you.
Antibodies to you, white boy.
Thank you.
White boy from Connecticut.
Cracker McBuckets. Cracker McHot Take. All right. We are done. We are out of time. Mark Vandermeer and John Harris are up next.